All right. Hello, 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 listeners. This is Randy, and you're listening to Dog-Eared Radio Book Club, a very special episode for Fun Drive here at CITR. If those of you who don't know what Fun Drive is, so this is the one week out of the year where we ask you to support us to keep local and independent voices and music on the air, including your favorite book club radio show, which I hope is this one. So we are broadcasting today from the unceded and traditional lands of the Musqueam people. And yeah, I'm super excited myself for this episode because since this is like a special episode, I didn't want to make my guests read another book since they're already coming on again at the end of the month. So I thought, what better way to, you know, romance is in the air, Valentine's Day is a week from today, and Fun Drive, you know, our theme is Harlequin romance novels, which is right up the alley of my radio show. So this is perfect. So our topic today is what is the most bizarre romance book you've ever read? But I realize I forgot to do my show intro again, which I really should just pre-record this. So everybody ignore what I said, and we're going to go back to the beginning. So this is Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. This is a bi-weekly book club that comes to you through the airwaves of CITR 101.9 FM. This happens every other week, or every 2 weeks, if you'd rather, on Tuesdays. And you can always find us at email, I guess, dog-eared.bookclubradio@gmail.com, or you can follow our Instagram, which is just me on Canva, you know, doing away those cool little designs, and that is Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. Okay, so now that we've done those, once again, I'd like to now introduce my guest. So this week, we have back on the show Brianna, who you might recognize from the very iconic bonus episode we did for 24 Hours of Student Power about Pen Pal. So hello, Brianna.
Hello. Thank you for having me back yet again.
I'm very happy to have you today.
I'm happy to be here. And lo and behold, I think that our special bonus episode from last time is going to make a reappearance in part of my weirdest romance books.
Mm-hmm. I think there might be some strong parallels between the two of them. Yeah, so for this episode, we are doing, it's going to be pretty relaxed. So as I said, there's not a specific book we're talking about in this episode. We're just talking about the most bizarre romance novel we've read, which I should have said plural, romance novels, because obviously I think we'll need more than one to talk about. But yeah, okay, so I did come up with, like, discussion questions to, like, kick off the episode, like, in general with romance novels, because I feel like these are, like, interesting questions that, like, I want to hear your opinion on. So the first one is, what do you enjoy in a romance novel?
I am solely in it for the entertainment factor.
Okay.
I do not place a whole lot of value. Like, plot's nice. It's nice if it's there, mm-hmm. but honestly, I'm in it just to feel good.
Yeah.
I don't care about whether or not anything is realistic. I simply just want a happy ending.
Yeah.
That's why I'm reading romance. That's it.
Yeah. I feel like I'm the same way. Like, I have the same expectations for a romance novel that I do for a Hallmark movie, which, I mean, obviously they're, like, the same. except, yeah, I guess, yeah. Hallmark movies are G-rated romance novels. But yeah, I'm strictly in it for just, like, the good feelings, you know. Like, I think we were talking about this just before the episode. Like, if you want, like, plot heavy, another genre might be more appropriate. And, like, that's not to say, like, I think there are so many good romances that do have extremely good plots. But I don't need it.
Yeah, no, I'm not
I just
in
need
it for the plot.
Yeah.
Like, it's great if it comes with it, and
mm-hmm.
then it's just a really good romance book, but
yeah.
if it doesn't have it, I'm not hating against it. I'm
yeah.
okay with it.
Yeah. So, I have a question. Do you have a book journal? Are you a book journal person?
I do not have a book journal. I have been meaning to start a Goodreads for, like, years
mm-hmm.
and years and years.
You should do Storygraph, then, if you don't have one started.
I might have to. I've been considering it for a very long
yeah.
time. I just have never actually gotten around to it. But I do, like, stamp my books when I read them. That's the only thing that I do. I have a, like, custom embosser with my name. So, like, after I read my books, I emboss them.
Okay, that's amazing. I've wanted one of those for so long. And I keep hinting at people that, like, hey, if you need a gift for me, the reader You can get me, yeah, and then no one ever does. So I think I just need to buy myself one.
Yeah, I have a really easy sister who's like, what do you want for Christmas? Tell me exactly. And so I sent her the link and sent her what I wanted on it. She's like, I ordered it. You'll get it for Christmas. Just makes it very easy to get the stuff I want.
Yeah, honestly, that's fair. No one needs mystery. Like, just get me what I want. Yeah, I'm the same way because, so the reason I asked about the book journal, so I started a book journal last year. 2022, but I revamped it this year. And so last year, because of my own internalized shame for reading Kindle Unlimited smut, I did not like fully rank those books, or not rank them, I guess rate them and like review them. So I gave like full page reviews to the other books I read, like books that I bought either on Kobo or like a physical copy. But this year I've decided no, every book is equal. So I'm now giving like full reviews, but that means I have to more seriously rate books. And last year it was really fun because I just rated all of my Kindle Unlimited reads just solely based on vibes alone. Like how I was feeling when I finished the last page of the book was how I ranked the entire book, which means that in my book journal from 2022, I read a lot of 5-star reads on Kindle Unlimited, which I tell you, none of those hold up anymore.
Randy single-handedly in charge of inflating these rates that when you see it and you're like, this is a 5-star book. I can't wait to get into it. It's solely because Randy's been rating them 5 stars. Yeah. Absolutely no value to them, but Randy's responsible for it.
Yeah. Yeah. I was smiling at the end, so I gave it 5 stars. No. Yeah, it's a problem. So I'm trying to take it more seriously this year. Honestly, my book journal is looking real good. I try to show it to people and people are like, I don't care. And I'm like, how do you not care about this? This is like my most prized possession. You know, like you journal about your life. That's boring. I journal about the smut I read on Kindle Unlimited. That's amazing. That's iconic. Okay, so the next thing I have a question as a reader. Are you a mood reader?
I am a mood reader in the sense that I think that books are like the only thing that gets me out of like bad moods. Mm-hmm. So I'm very heavily reliant on them. Like when I'm in a good mood, I'm not thinking about it as much. But like if I'm having a miserable day, you just know that I'm going home and I'm reading. I'm not doing any of my homework. Like my boyfriend is well aware that if I'm just having a bad day, I'm like, don't talk to me. I'm cracking open a book. Nothing else besides like fictional human beings are able to speak to me at this moment because I don't want to exist like in my life. I would just like to live out this like strange smut book that's going to make me stop considering anything that belongs to reality.
Yeah, I'm literally the exact same person. I like, you know how like people have other vices, you know, people drink to handle their problems, people eat chocolate, I read smut. Like that's my coping mechanism. And to all of you out there, yes, I do go to therapy. So you can't come at me for that. But no, that's like my my mood is like, I don't know. See, like mood reading to me is so interesting because I don't even know what that like means. Because to me it's like so I guess maybe they mean like mood as in genre, which like is sort of true for me because like I mainly read romance, but I will go between different types of romance. So I'll go through like a period where I only am reading monster romance. And then like during Christmas, all I read was historical romance. And like very specifically like Victorian, you know, like Regency era romance. I guess that's not really Victorian. Anyways, and then very recently I was like Western romance. Like it's so I guess maybe that's what they mean by mood reading, but
I don't know. I would love to like be that type of mood reader, but I majored in English, so I was just forced constantly to read I read a Jane Austen book on Sunday because I got bored.
Oh wow.
And it put me in a bad mood. So
yeah.
I'm considering now just my mood to be just smut books because you know what?
Do it.
They leave me feeling happy.
Yeah. And how could they not?
Jane Austen left me feeling like I missed the point of the novel and it didn't feel nearly as feminist as it was supposed to be. Kind of just ended with a marriage that I was like, oh, it'll work out. Versus like when I read a smut book, I'm like, these people have gone through everything for one another. This is what true love looks like. It's not a courtship and a marriage. It's whatever, you know, H.G. Carlton, you are like, that's the romance that I'm looking for. It's just absolute insanity. I can't believe someone's brain came up with it.
Yeah. No, I need you to go to like the most extreme case Because now I know your relationship will survive. Like, anything less than that, you're getting divorced. Automatically, I don't believe that you made it. But, like, the couples in dark romance novels, I tell you, they're going to last till the end of time.
They have no other option. Like, they're basically, they're branding each other. They're so entwined that there's no chance of divorce. Like, and always the guy is threatening to, like, absolutely come after her if she tries to leave. So I'm like, yeah, there's no way possible for you guys to leave. You're stuck together forever.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. Also, this is dark. I don't have a content warning for this episode, but, like, just take the title, right? Like, it's the most bizarre romance novels we've read. So anyways, that's all I'm going to say. But I was reading this romance novel and the I even hesitate to call it a romance novel. But the guy, the male protagonist, gave her a ring that if she tried to take it off, it had like teeth in it. So if you try to pull it off, it like...
Isn't that the same ring that MGK gave Megan Fox where it like stabs her finger if she tries to remove it?
And I was like reading this being like, okay, sure. Like, and like this is my thing with like, okay, like I read a lot of dark romance, but the idea that I ever want it to come off pages, no,
absolutely terrifying.
That's why it's on, like, even like I was ranting to my roommate about this, the fact that 365 Days as a movie exists, I hate that. No, like my favorite dark romances, if they ever became movies, I would automatically want to destroy the studio.
I don't even want to hear an audiobook of my favorite dark romance. No. It needs to happen solely from my eyes to my brain and go nowhere else. I can't even explain it to other people. Yeah.
I solely just need to, like, read the words, absorb them, and that's it. Like, I don't need... Nothing else can happen.
That's why everything's a 5-star rating, is because there's no other higher thought process going on.
There's no one else to give me an opinion. It's just my brain. Being like, yeah, that's chill. You can give her a ring she can never take off. Like,
that's so mild in comparison to other dark romances.
It is.
I'm like,
yeah.
You know what? That's valid. That happens in real life.
Yeah. No, it's wild. Yeah. Okay. So my next question, before we get into like specific books, this is all lead up to the audience.
All right, the build up.
Please be patient. Also, this is fantastic. Okay. So I basically convinced you to get Kindle Unlimited.
Yes.
Because I asked you to read Pen Pal for my bonus episode. And you now are a Kindle subscriber for life. That's what I'm going to say. So how is Kindle Unlimited working out for you?
Kindle Unlimited, you know how like people have like a snack drawer that they don't want to show their friends and family? That is my Kindle Unlimited library. Like, you know what? My bookshelves at home, my Apple books, those are my academic books. That's my Jane Austen's. My Kindle Unlimited, I'm afraid for someone I know to, like, open it. It's, yeah, like, hidden five. Like, you have to swipe through 5 pages of apps to get to it. Like, it's on its last page by itself. Anytime that someone's like, what do you read? And I'm like, don't look at it. Don't ask me. I have my beard book that I'm like constantly using where I'm like, I'm reading a Jane Austen. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm reading Kindle Unlimited and I'm reading something that I can't even say the name of. And don't ask to look at the book cover either, because that's just as bad.
Yeah, we'll give it away just as much. Yeah, wow. Realistic experience.
But I love Kindle Unlimited. I am a subscriber for life.
It's literally, okay, I saw this TikTok and like, I don't know the creator's name, but they were talking about, they were like, I just got Kindle Unlimited and now all I'm reading is smut. Like, what is going on? I was never this person. And then someone stitched it, was like, it just hits different. Like, there is something like this. Okay. So one of the other, I guess, like student execs was talking about like smut novels and they were like, listing examples, and I was like, wait, what do you think smut novels are? And she like gives me an explanation. I was like, oh no, that is not, like, we're talking just straight up, that's all there is. Like, if they're not doing it, they're talking about it or thinking about it or leading up to it, like,
or dreaming it or ghosting it or something.
Yeah, like, it, like, that is the plot. Okay, like, there can be a secondary plot, but the action is the plot. Okay, yeah. So the other thing with Kindle Unlimited is I wanted to ask is, how is your relationship going between Kindle Unlimited and Book Talk, because I feel like that's the best space to exist in. Like, if you just have Kindle Unlimited and you don't, if you aren't on Book Talk, I feel like you're not living your life to the fullest extent that you could be.
I have mixed feelings about this, because one half of BookTok I'm on, I love it. And yeah. I'm like, you know what, this is great recommendations. I'm having a blast. You know what? I have my people that I'm like, I love the way that you reviewed that. This is exactly how I felt. No plot, all yeah. vibes, loved it. Mm-hmm. But then there's some that, like, especially reading dark romance, and I think I touched on this a little bit kind of when we were talking earlier, was that, like, dark romance and TikTok, I find, do not always go together, because no. I don't think most TikTokers understand the meaning of dark yeah. romance, and especially, like, really dark romance. Mm-hmm. Like, again, talking about, like, H.G. Carlton, like, cat and mouse duology. If you go into that not understanding, like, the true extent of what dark romance can be,
yeah,
you are going to come away from it and slam it on TikTok, and it doesn't deserve it, because it gave you the warnings at the beginning. You yeah. knew what you were getting into.
Yeah. I feel like this is, yeah, this is my point where, like, again, as, like, a huge reader of dark romance, I also feel very, like, protective of it as a genre. Like, I very much please follow age ratings on books. Like, even 18, I'm like, yeah, legally maybe, but also if you're 18, don't read this book. Like, but I think also, to me, that's like, yeah, like, always read content warnings. But also, authors, make content warnings freely available. Like, have them so front and center that a reader can't, like, breeze past them. Like, I even feel like on Kindle Unlimited, they usually have them at, like, the end of the description. You could just put them at the beginning.
The first one that yeah. I saw truly was Haunting Adeline, and yeah. that's because it got removed before, because so many people complained yeah. that it was so abrasive.
Yeah.
And, like, the content warning wasn't there. So that was the first yeah. one where I saw it big, and I just thought, unsuspectingly, I was like, this is going to be, it's just, like, it's new. So, yeah. you know, content warning's very big. Did not realize what I was getting into.
Yeah. No, definitely always. Yeah. Yeah, I think that's, like, I mean, I have, like, a continuous love-hate relationship with Book Talk. I think it, like, I get so many good recs, especially, like, books that I wouldn't necessarily find, like, ones more by indie authors or, like, self-published that aren't, like, super famous. Mm-hmm. Like, I was watching TikTok on Saturday, and this book talker that I really like, which I should have put their handle down, but they recommended this book called Sweet Vengeance, and I immediately downloaded it. So it's about this Nigerian woman, and she is essayed, and so she wants to unalive. I realize I'm talking, like, on TikTok now.
Perpetrator.
That's the word. So she summons this demon to, like, cover it up for her, and ends up falling in love with the demon. But it is literally so cute. Like, that's a weird word to use. It's super dark. Please do not forget that. But, like, it's cute in the way that, like, this woman who, like, you know, expresses this, like, trauma that she's been through gets to, like, fall in love and be worshipped by, like, a 7-foot purple demon, which is epic. You know, we all deserve to be worshipped by a demon in the fictional dark romance. But anyway, so, like, that's a book I wouldn't really come across, right? And I feel like I really like that. But we were talking about this earlier, like, it is hard because I think there's so many creators that don't, number one, look at content warnings, and also don't understand genres. Like, we were talking, like, a lot of people try to just, like, excuse, like, awful and illegal content as being dark romance, and, like, that's not what the heart of dark romance is. Like, dark romance is supposed to be taboo, but not to that far of an extent.
Yeah, no, it's taboo in the sense that, like, it doesn't make you want to throw the book out because you're just disgusted. I mean, for some people it will, yeah. but, like, there are some levels of dark romance where I'm like, this isn't even classified as dark romance.
Yeah.
Because, like, you just took something horrible and illegal, yeah. and then just called it dark romance, and it's yeah. supposed to, like, it was originally written with the intent to be, like, a very sweet, like,
yeah.
weird, very perverted kind of book.
Yeah.
Versus, and then you're just like, oh, dark romance, like, I'll just slap the title on it because yeah. it's illegal and grosses me out, and I'm like, no, it's well, not yeah. the same thing.
That's what we were talking about, like, we were talking about the example on BookTok, which people who were on BookTok at this time will know, but there was, like, this, really gross book that was going around that involved, like underage relationships. And and I feel like that's my beef with like dark romance in high schools. Like Penelope Douglas is infamous for this. And I read these books when I was a teenager. And I'm like, I should not, like, and my thing is, like, as a teenager, I should not read these books. And adults should not read these books, because why do you want to read about 17-year-olds doing this stuff? Or even 18-year-olds? Like, so to me, that's weird. So I think for me, like, dark romance exists 22 and above, like 23. Like, you know, it's best when you're in your 30s. Like, you know, you've got your life figured out, you're all put together, and then but that's definitely kind of like where I'm at with book talk.
Penelope Douglas is like, she's big on TikTok too. People promote that.
That's
Punk
so
57
weird to...
was my first foray in a long time into any kind of smut reading, and then I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't like that, so I like retreated, and then like a few months later, and I was like, okay, we're gonna try again. And then I like read a book with like a 25-year-old, and I was like, this feels safe.
Yeah.
This feels
so much better.
I am back in my comfort zone of like fully developed frontal lobe. You know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
you're making decisions. They're not good, but you're making them.
You know what? You mentioned a mortgage at one point. Like, you are an adult, fully fledged. I trust you.
You know what you want. All right. Well, we're going to take a very quick break. So you're going to hear some more about Fun Drive. This week is Fun Drive until Thursday. So we're fundraising for a new transmitter for CITR. So if you enjoy me and Brianna's ramblings about romance novels, you should definitely support Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. So you can always donate at citr.ca/donate. And if you choose Dog-Eared from the drop-down menu, then my show gets the credit. I know, it's really cool. But please enjoy these nice messages, and we will be back shortly.
Can you help me find a bathrobe? I'm so cold without it.
What?
Can you help me find a bathrobe? I'm so cold without it.
Maybe you can go to...
I heard at CITR you can donate during Fun Drive from February 2nd to 9th to get cool prizes like lighters, wine glasses, bathrobes, and more. Donate to CITR to help community radio thrive.
To donate, go to citr.ca/donate.
$10 latte?
Seagull got your fiver.
$63 digital textbook?
$8 Twitter blue checkmark?
What have you been doing with your money? Tinder Plus?
And Tinder Gold.
Do you pay for pre-rolls at dispensaries instead of just learning to roll?
Hot water bill. Really?
Oh, and that Arc'teryx beanie isn't worth your last paycheck.
You even got your Uncle Walter a Bob Ross Funko Pop for his 45th birthday party, a party that you had to ask to get invited to, and you had to go to f***ing Burnaby for that.
Plus, we know the price of eggs and your organic produce.
Want to know a better way to spend your money? Donate to the CITR Intersectionality Collective.
You can donate by going to www.citr.ca/donate. That's www.citr.ca/donate. And don't forget to select the Intersectionality Collective. It's either that or keep lighting your f***ing money on fire.
All right. Welcome back, listeners. This is Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. I'm your host, Randy, and I'm joined today by Brianna. I hope you enjoyed Ava and Serena yelling at you from the Intersectionality Collective. And if you don't want to support Dog-Eared, definitely go support Intersections. They're pretty cool, if I do say so myself. All right. So we left off talking about book talk, the relationship between book talk, kind of book talk, Kindle Unlimited, but book talk in general. So I think my other thing that I have, with BookTok is like the users, not necessarily the posters. So like people reviewing and recommending. But yeah, like people that just like take, like are so offended when a book is recommended and it's not perfect. Like that, and like we were talking about this with like Haunting Adeline, but also, wait, what's her name?
H.D. Carlton?
Yeah, H.D. Yeah, Carlton.
H.D. Carlton's the one that writes a lot of that sort of genre of dark romance.
Yeah, because they had another book, Does It Hurt, which also got really popular on BookTok. And yeah, I feel like people just like seeing videos of someone like recommending a book that was like, this was extremely entertaining, 5 stars. And then like taking that to mean like it's a masterpiece that deserves to win like, I don't know, I don't know what book prizes or awards are, but like, so like that's really weird to me because like I always joke, like I will read anything, basically anything that someone recommends on BookTok. Like if I think it sounds mildly interesting, especially if it's on Kindle Unlimited, if I don't have to buy it, man, I'm going to read it. Like I don't go into it being like, oh, this is going to be a masterpiece. I'm like, will I be entertained?
Yeah. I think a lot of people too with BookTok especially don't take into consideration the fact that like, honestly, your taste is not going to be the same, especially when it comes to something as subjective as dark romance.
Yeah.
Like, this is not like a cutesy little like romance book where most people are gonna like it. Like, sorry, if someone's recommending H.D. Carlton, you need to go into that with the expectation that it's gonna be an H.D. Carlton book and look it up beforehand.
Yeah.
Because you're gonna, if it's not your style, you're gonna hate it. You're gonna think it's the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
You have to, like, dark romance is so subjective to what someone can handle. And you and I are both very, like, open with what we read. So it's very, like,
I feel like it works out
well. We have very similar tastes and, like, how far we're willing to go in these books. But for a lot of people, I'm like, you can't bash it just because it's not your style. Like, no offense, but that's on you for not going into it and, like, reading the giant preamble where it's, like, all of these trigger warnings. Like, when there's a full page of trigger warnings, you should be clued into the fact that it's going to get dark.
You should read them. Yeah, you should. That's what they're there for. Yeah, I think, like, to me, that's, like, my problem. Like, people need to recognize that, like, just because it's a 5-star to one person doesn't mean it's a 5-star to everyone. And, like, I don't say that for books that are, like, actually awful. Like, books that have, like, racism or transphobia. Like, yes, those books are 0 stars to everyone. Or they should be, right? Like, they just don't. Yeah, no. Yeah, like books promoting those things. But like when we're talking about books, you know, yeah, like it's a taste thing, right? Like, so just because I rank a book 5 stars does not mean I'm going to recommend it to everyone that I talk to, right? Like, you're basically the only person in my life that I would recommend, like, the depths of Kindle Unlimited that I go to. Like, even my cousins who have been on Kindle Unlimited way longer than I have, I literally never recommend the books I read to them because I'm scared that they would judge me very harshly because I think our libraries are very different. But it's also, yeah, like to me, it's just a taste thing. And the best example I have of that is when I started getting into historical romance, my cousins recommended these books. I forget what who the author is, but it's Loretta Chase. And so they recommended two. I think it was The Last Hellion. And then I forget what the other book was. But they liked the other book better. And I liked The Last Hellion. And they were like, oh, that's surprising. But it's literally just taste. It's literally the same author in the same series. And they're both like kind of darker historical romance novels. But it's a taste thing. Like, I just liked one specific character more in this book that made me like it more. And I think it also annoys me that, like, just because I rate a book 4 stars doesn't mean I can't recognize all the problems in it.
Yeah. Like, especially with dark romance, too. Like, there's so many prevalent problems, but there's a balance between, like, what extent are these problems, especially when they're not glaringly big problems like we talked about that are, like, ones that would just make you completely remove something or remove an author from your reading. Like, it's subjective problems that you kind of balance how willing you are to deal with it.
No, and, like, it's so fair for people that just, like, like, if you don't like dark romance, you just don't like it. And that's so valid. Like, It is. I think it's like the genre that we can all agree is not for everyone. Yeah. Like,
you couldn't find a safer space to say that you just want to tap out. Like,
yeah, yeah. Like, no one's gonna judge you for that. I definitely am not going to. But yeah. So I think that's like one of my other annoyances with book talk is just because someone likes that book doesn't mean that you also have to. But yeah, like, just be aware of what you're going into it for. Like, if you're reading a 180 page romance, like smut romance novella on Book Talk or on Kindle Unlimited that someone recommended on Book Talk, like, just be aware of what you're going. Yeah. Like, yeah.
Don't trust what people on the internet say all the time.
Yeah, please don't. Okay, so I have a couple books that I wanted to put forth as, like, the most bizarre, wackiest, out there, creative. Okay. What else I've read. Okay, so the first one is Pen Pal, which I know we've both read because we did it on the show. So we don't have to, like, cover it, obviously, because we did a whole episode on it. So if you do want to hear more, please check out that episode. It is probably the most entertaining episode we've done. Yeah. But I wanted to read my initial review of this book. So this is what I wrote when I first read it, which was in the summer sometime.
Yeah, you read it well before the episode, and I think you went circled back. Yeah. I'm excited to hear this.
Yeah, maybe the fall. Okay, so this is my original review. So effing good. Have not been this surprised by a book in a long time.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. And when I read it, I literally read it in one morning. I don't even know what happened. I feel like I was on Book Talk either, like, I woke up early or, like, was late, like, up late. And I found it. And I remember just, like, lying on my bed reading it all morning and, like, running out every hour telling my roommate, like, this just happened. Like, I was like, I don't even know what's going on. Like, I am so lost. I was like, I don't know what's going on. And, like, but I think that's so cool because this book, like, it impacted me in some way, right? It's been in my brain ever since I read it. And I literally got it as, like, a recommendation from, like, a 20-second TikTok. And I think it was one of those book talks where they kind of, like, have, like, the text on the screen. It's, like, a really dramatic scene. Do you know those ones?
Yeah. Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did, like, the same thing. I did, like, a skim read where I was, like, I was just reading too fast for my brain to process all the words. So I was, like, get all the main points, get to the end. And then I had to, like, circle back for, like, literary critique, you know, to feel qualified to be on the episode and be, like, okay, like, think about it like an actual book and not just like something that is just like pure entertainment value.
Which like made it way more. Yeah. And like, that's the thing. Like, if I rate it just off vibe, it's a 10 out of 10. That book is gold. Like, that's a platinum book for entertainment. Plot wise, it's like a one. It's like, I have no idea what's going on.
It's like six because it's got so many different plots overlapping with so many different holes. That
like, you earn points for creativity, 100%. Yeah. So there's that one. Okay, and then the other one that I wanted. I thought this review was funny. Okay, so this is like, this kind of leads in like talking about like monster romance, because I think that's like where you get the bizarrest, right? Like, that's where you like get into the bizarre world of romance. Okay, so this book is called Thieves and Monsters, and the original version I read was by Cleo Evans and Opal Fairchild.
I've heard of this.
Yes.
I can very faintly remember. I can see the book cover in my head right now.
Yeah, but now I can't find it anywhere. But I looked it up on Cleo Evans' website, and they're releasing it again in May. But the internet says it was originally released in May of last year, May 2022, and I read it in June. So I don't know what's up, but I am so curious for it to be re-released because I want to know if it's the same book.
Yeah.
But apparently there's like a whole series, and they're coming out like 1 month apart, which is wild. So they must all be written.
Intriguing.
Yeah.
You don't really hear about that happening with smut books. Like, you hear about that happening with like bigger things that are like actual novels that are raking in dollars, but smut books are usually like pretty pretty low risk for when you're publishing.
Yeah, so I don't know if, like, maybe they released it as, like, a collab writing it with this other author, but then it got popular, so maybe now they're re-releasing it on their own and releasing the whole season.
Yeah.
Or series. Season. But anyways, okay, but I just want to read my review. So, this is my review. This book was hot, but the spice was 100% out there and not believable.
is this not a monster romance?
Well, that's the thing I can't remember. But it's bothering me. I wanted to, like, go back and, like, skim it or read it. But I swear it was, like, what do you call four people? A quadruple? No. I guess a poly book.
Say this word on air.
Please don't say that. A polyamorous relationship, I guess.
Yeah.
And it was, like, four. And I swear that they were all, like, demons or something. And she, but I think they were all supernatural. And that's why it was, like, out there. But she was, like, a thief. And I swear she, like, tried to steal from them. And then they captured her and, like, you know, kept her for nefarious purposes.
The issue is that this is the plot of so many small books that I'm like, hold on, this is, I see these characters, but it's not for this book.
Yeah. So I don't know, which I'm hoping. But anyways, yeah, that was my review, which I just had to read. Like, I was just looking for the funniest reviews. And I just love, this book is hot. Like, what does hot mean? Like,
is it all lowercase too, or is it at least capitalized?
I think I capitalize hot. Like, okay. I think I like capitalize the whole thing.
Okay, that gives it a little more extra oomph though.
So I think it was like
if it was just like, this was hot, like a very like clinical statement.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to be, this was hot. Yeah.
A little back into that.
Yeah. A little oomph. Okay, so that's that book. So super curious. Maybe I'll do an update in May on the show to be like, hey, this is the book. I read it.
Is it still hot?
Yeah, is it still hot? Is the spice still unbelievable? And also, I would love to explain to listeners why it was unbelievable, but I cannot do that at this time of night. If you want to know that, don't ask
for
me.
Another after hours episode.
Yeah. Listen in for that. Okay, so the other one is called Boogeyman Booty Call.
I have heard so much about this.
So this is by Harpy Alexa.
This is taking book talk by storm right now.
Seriously?
At least on my feed, I've seen so much about it.
I feel like this book was big, like, probably in the summer when I read it.
I'm seeing the 2.0 coming through on my book talk feed.
Okay, well, you can read it if you want to. But
what's your review first?
I actually didn't write down my review. I'm sorry. But I wrote down part of it. So I said it was monster realism. So, okay, hear me out. Okay, so what I mean by this, so I actually wrote not for me, gross monster realism. So what I mean by this is there is a line in monster romance, okay? And it's a waffling line. So it kind of just like, how much do you need to tell me how monstrous this person is, right? Like, that's, as the reader, I know that they're a monster, right? But in the intimacy acts, how much do I need to be reminded that they're not a human? So I don't know how to explain this. Like,
I think I got a general idea of what's going on.
So in this book, it was just a little too much. I was reminded a little too often that he was a boogeyman.
Also a very arguably hard monster to characterize in a monster smut book.
Also, like, here's the thing. We agreed a long time ago as a society that if you're going to have monsters, they have to be hot, okay? They gotta be hot monsters, okay? And I think his name is Ted. Or
immediately, like, no.
Yes, I
removing
know.
It from my library list.
Like, I could, yeah, you don't...
You're a monster and your name's Ted?
I can't remember. Honestly, I'm going to try to look it up while I'm talking. But Yeah, his name was like something like super bland. And okay, but I also have this like, there's this, I remember them like doing this scene where he's like describing where he sleeps. And he sleeps like under a crate or something. And they describe the fact that there's like goo around him. And also they describe like in detail him like eating dead mice. And I'm just like, this is not doing it.
None of the other monsters like, are doing that. They're not eating dead mice. That just feels... I wonder if they really, if the author really had something against Ted. Because Ted, dead mice... living in goo doesn't feel like anything's really being done for Ted to come across as a as an enjoyable boogeyman.
Yeah, and so I think that also this is like only 100 Gary. That's worse.
Oh, that's so much
that's
worse.
So much. Okay, and like I'm pretty sure okay, and this is I don't want to get into this, okay? But the way they described him, he had like a beer belly, I swear, and like a hairy chest. Like these are all things, first of all, like, I know instinctively when I read straight romance novels that I'm like, oh, abs, good. Like, it's like a check mark. Like, yeah. I don't really care.
It's like pen pal. They're like, oh, he's 6'4", and he's the most jacked person you've ever met. He goes to the gym 8 hours a day.
Yeah.
Like, okay, like, all right.
I'm cool with that. Like, we know. That's, like, that's the societal agreement we have. Okay, so Gary. I can't, like, I couldn't do it. I read the whole thing. But yeah, like it's just, and like he's using a dating app. I don't know. I can't. And also they describe it as like sweet and steamy. It was not. Okay, yeah. So this was like the only book where I was like, I was a little annoyed because I was like, no, Gary does not fit the profile of a monster hero protagonist. Okay. No, there's rules, right? Okay, so yeah, you can be a monster, but don't constantly tell me that you're a gross, dirty monster who eats dead mice. Rotting mice, okay? Because then in the next scene, when you're going to get busy with her,
I'm still thinking about the dead mice.
I'm still thinking about the dead mice. I'm thinking about the goo. I'm thinking about this crate. I'm thinking about, like, literally, I remember, like, reading this. And they were like, yeah, they described, like, where he slept. And then described, like, the next scene when he was, like, getting busy with her. And I was like, I literally thought I was going to puke. I was like, no, I'm still picturing him lying in this goo. Like, did he shower?
I also feel like boogeyman, like, maybe I'm, like, missing out on a boogie lore here, but I feel like there's not a lot to go off of. Like, at least other monsters have, like, you can pull from some cultural references. Who is the boogeyman? Does he exist?
Yeah.
Is his name canonically Gary? Like, across different lores?
Yeah.
Hard one to even characterize, a worse one to characterize badly.
Yeah, it just, it didn't work out. Yeah, that was not for me. So, okay, well, we're gonna head to another quick please donate to CITR moment here. And then when we come back, we'll wrap up because we're almost done, which is wild. I feel like I have so many things to say about this. Maybe this is what the show should just turn into, is just like updates on Book Talk. I actually used to do updates on Book Talk when the show first started. Ooh, but then
it got a little out of hand.
Yeah, but also like it's hard because not all my guests were like interested or like were like up to date or like knew what I was talking about. So yeah, that was kind of hard, but we will be back shortly.
In public, whether you're tuning in from your car, your daily commute, or at home while you fold a load of laundry, I hope that your day's been easy, breezy, and blissful. Here at CITR, we are huge on engaging with local communities, amplifying underrepresented voices, and providing our members with the tools needed to express themselves through a variety of mediums. We're all about honest and diverse storytelling, by the people, for the people. This year, from February 2nd to 9th, we are asking our community to show their support in the form of monthly or one-time donations. Being in operation for 85 years means that we're due for some essential equipment upgrades, and our goal is to raise $20,000 for a new radio transmitter. That's right, a snazzy new radio transmitter to level up your listening experience in every way. Log on to citr.ca/donate today to help keep community radio alive.
Tucked her hair behind her ear, smiled, looked up, and asked if I've donated to CITR for Fun Drive yet. I hadn't, but I knew I couldn't lie to her, And then she said, well, I only talk to people who use their money to donate to community radio. So I did what any normal person in love would do, opened my computer, went to citr.ca/donate, and donated to my favorite shows on air to receive some really cool donation prizes, which she then demanded I give to her.
Is one of the donation prizes a journal?
Yeah, why?
You're probably gonna want to keep that.
All right, we are back, and you're listening to Dog-Eared Radio Book Club. This is your lovely host, Randy, and I'm joined in studio today by Brianna. And we have just been enjoying ourselves immensely talking about the most bizarre romance novels we read, but also just, I feel like, romance in general, and, like, bizarre romance, and, like, romance categories, book talk. So you mentioned during the break that you had a book, also by H.G. Carlton.
Yes. H.G. Carlton, infamous, you know, infamous for, like, certain tropes. I'll give them that. This one is not at all that. This is a reverse harem book, which is,
okay,
number one, not very H.G. Carlton-esque.
No.
And so it's called Satan's Affair. Okay. The title should give an immediate hint as to how odd this book is going to get.
Mm-hmm.
It's another one of those books. Spoiler alert. Don't, you know, like, go pick up the book if you're going to actually read it.
Yeah.
Because it will leave you with the same feeling at the end as Pen Pal did.
Right.
Where they're like, oh, none of it was actually real, and this is what was actually real. And you have just been bamboozled into reading this. Number one, you thought it was weird when you were reading it.
Yeah.
You are even more weirded out by the end of it. And so it's promoted as a prequel to the Haunting Adeline book. So this is why I went into Haunting Adeline.
Yeah.
With, like, strange expectations, not really expecting it, because the prequel is out there.
Yeah.
It is a little bit it's a little bit crazy. Read it if you're into reverse harem dark romance that's going to leave you, like, unsure how any of this transpired at the end. Because it's a weird one. It'll come back to haunt you in Haunting Adeline, because the character comes back for a rebound. Don't call to come back.
Oh, wow. All right. Wow. Interesting. Yeah, I have not read that one, so I'll have to add it to my TBR. I'll have to add it to the Kindle library.
Happens at a carnival. If that's tune you into it anymore. Haunted mansion / traveling carnival. Yeah. So already we're starting
already
out
creepy.
In not in like a pretty sketchy sort of environment.
Yeah.
Traveling carnival's not known for their cleanliness and happiness and safety.
None of those things are included. No, I feel like that's an interesting, Pen Pal definitely was an experience. It was definitely but before we wrap up, by and far the most bizarre, and I think this in, like, ingrains the term bizarre, okay? Like, I have read, like, more out there, but, like, the actual term bizarre. Early December, I read two books.
Okay.
And they were titled Railed by the Easter Bunny and Railed by Krampus.
I feel like I've already read the book. not hiding anything with that one, were they?
They were not. So the only thing I put for, like, oh, also these were by Dahlia Davies. So I don't really have an explanation. I can't give one. Like, all I will say is if you are like me and Brianna, and you're open and you're ready, go for it. They're free on Kindle Unlimited. Like, I don't know what else to tell you. Like, I have never left a book. Also, so I'm going to kind of spoil it. Krampus is the good guy. I didn't know what was going on with that, but we're here for it.
Redemption arc.
Yeah,
I support it.
We love a strong redemption arc. And also, I believe that because Santa Claus is evil.
Don't let your children listen to this.
Yeah.
For so many reasons.
This is not it. Okay, well, that basically brings us to the end of the episode. So I hope you had fun, Brianna. I sure did.
I had a great time.
Yeah, and I hope listeners enjoyed this. I don't think you learned anything, but that's so fair. Like, what do you have to learn from us?
To be fair, I learned nothing from reading any of these books, but if you're here for entertainment value, yeah, entertain yourself.
Yeah, I mean, we should list all of the books that we talked about, so if you want to be just like Brianna and I, you can go out and read these books. But in the meantime, please donate to CITR. You can donate at citr.ca/donate, and just make sure you pick dog-eared from the drop-down menu. But I think that is where we are going to leave the folks tonight, and I hope all of you have a wonderful and restful Tuesday evening.